My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Good afternoon, and your drive time show. As always, 4:30 to 6, that's Home Run with Helmut on Eagle FM. Wherever you're tuned in from, thank you for tuning in. And as always, I'm always here with an exciting topic to keep you company while you drive or you are just chilling at home, doing chores, whatever it is that you're doing, just throw in a pair of headphones and you leave the rest to me. That's it's Home Run, so it's both serious and a little bit of humor in between, because life is too short to be serious all the time, guys. It's just too short to be serious all the time, so you're gonna let to laugh and leave a little. Why does that song sound familiar? Guess who is coming to dinner? Is it Guess Who Is Coming to Dinner or Guess Who Is Coming? Yeah, Guess Who Is Coming to Dinner. I mean, it's a very funny movie. Now, today's Home Run topic is around one of those discussions that actually, it wasn't until I, sent in the description, that's when I went like, why am I talking about this again? Then I was like, oh, it's based on a report. And I love reports. And I think I have to actually find a different topic for tomorrow and Friday. I think I've spent a little bit too much time with the World Economic Forum guys. But that's because they really did, during their, time at Davos, this year for their annual World Economic Forum meeting, they covered a lot of things and, everything from, the projected economic instabilities emanating from the political, instabilities, which is not rocket science, and the corporations that, and how it's, somewhat fading, and the legitimacy, more like the power of international institutions, and how it's really being stretched thin, you know, at this point in terms of patients, because if the international institutions were physical, more like were natural beings, aka natural beings with power to basically slap the heck out of some countries, they would have done so to a lot of countries. I think Namibia would be like that last born that's, you know, just terribly spoiled. Just sitting there in the southern part of the African continent, just, you know, minding our own business. It wasn't until, you know, Azure Speed showed up, and then, boy, oh boy, and people were jogging in the middle of a hot summer day. Some were climbing the walls of Hilton Hotel. I was like, okay, people have gone Spider-Man. But yeah, welcome to the power of social media. That's the direction from the look of things, you know, from the look of things, life, just the Padma. That's the direction from the look of things, you know, the economies have taken. That's the direction the economies have taken in terms of, other avenues of making money. Popularities like, one for Azure Speed comes with a lot of, because of the crowd that you're pulling, sponsors basically come along because, you know, the people that are looking at you, they know that if people are looking at you, if they just place their products in front of you, then they're going to see those products and will want to buy some of them. Now, that's a part of what we are going to be talking about today, but decided to reserve that for like later on during the day. Now, let's dive in. Start by, you know, testing the waters and going slowly. Yeah. So today's home run discussion is proudly inspired by the World Economic Forum's 2026 Sports for People and Planet Insight report. A report that was basically compiled based on the sports in general, not as sports as in a specific, specific sports in general and globally, and the value in terms of revenue that sports generates every year. Now, I know this is a good subject to have on the African corner because, this is actually one of the biggest not the biggest problem. It's one of those transitions that we are still making, I think, for the large part of the African continent with regards to career choices. For a very long time, the only careers that enabled one to make a living were the ones in the directions of academics. And then that shifted slowly to where it's for countries like Namibia somewhat like 50-50, and it's also being prioritized in terms of discussion and the implementation, slow though it may be. And that's the, you know, trying to balance academics and academic institutions and technical institutions in, you know, with regards to making the environment, more conducive for, more like attractive for people to decide, you know what, I want to pick a career in this technical course, or I want to pick a career, or I'm going to pursue a career in this academic course. So the, you know, what was once very streamlined have now been turned into, you know, a buffet, you know, where you can just pick one. Now, sport, on the other hand, is also, you know, is trailing behind technical skills on this one because it's a, not just because the environment is still in its very rudimentary stage in terms of physical infrastructure, but also the policies that regulate a lot of sport codes and the popularities of it. The good thing is the popularity on the African continent is really wild. I mean, we already have a lot of people on the African continent follow a lot of sports. It wasn't until last year when I found out my second wife is a huge fan of what people get punched in the face. Is a huge fan of Formula One. I like the cars. Do I follow the Grand Prix sport? I mean, I like the physics behind. I watch their training, but the sport itself, Yeah, but she's a huge fan of it now. Well, Dwight is a rugby guy, and HD is, well, HD with his sport and basically everything sport. And then you have me that will just want to shoot imaginary guys in video games and then call it a day. Now, this report looks at sports globally. And not just sports, you know, as in the physical activity, like the physical aspect that more often comes to our mind when we talk about sport. But the sports economy turns out as, you know, goes beyond, a soccer player on the pitch, for example. It goes beyond that. That soccer player on the pitch is putting on clothes. Thank heavens. Because of all the running, we don't want to imagine what they would look like without those clothes. Now, those clothes have, the scribbling, or, you know, they have all kinds of logos and the writings that they have. All those things also, you know, spills into sport versus advertising. You know, a sport, you know, not versus, because now I'm making it sound like they are in conflict. But they are complementing each other in terms of, you also find now sport in advertising. And that's during training, the gears that they use, you know, the food that they eat, and the bottles of water that they use during their, during their breaks or stuff. All these things are products that are manufactured by someone. The bottle that is using, the soccer boots, and the kit, more like some type of healthy meds that they take, and the health institutions that basically takes care of them, and the medications that health institution uses. That's now you see them, you know, the pharmaceutical industry is also being roped in, and the nutritions that they eat. Now you see again the pharmaceutical industry, albeit in this point, at this point, it's now coming from the direction of, your nutritionist guys that are telling you that if you want to pursue this and this and this and this sport, you're going to have to strictly adhere to this and this and this type of diet. And it's not that they hate you. Take Formula One, for example. You can't just gobble up everything because in Formula One, they are very strict about weight, like really strict, because weight is everything. In Formula One, you put on a kg that is going to cascade into making you sluggish, and you are sitting behind a multi-million dollar, not a multi-million dollar car, the engine itself is over $1 million. I don't know who came up with that idea, and that's because of the engineering precision that's required to basically make that thing do that, you know, make all those turns at 200 kilometers an hour. Who turns at 200 kilometers an hour? I mean, that's why it's that low to the ground, and the aerodynamics is everything. Precision and where the air is going to hit, how it's going to flow. That's why it's insanely expensive. Just the engine of a Formula One. You're already driving a Lamborghini. I know. That's why some of the sports are very expensive to participate in. Now, anyway, let's look at the report. Now, I'm going to put much more emphasis on advertising, because we also do that here at Eagle FM. You're welcome. All you just have to do is call 083-288-400. And then you just tell them, you know, I have these products that are very amazing. I think the people are going to like, but I want to push it out there so that, you know, people can be aware of my product. No, that's easy. 083-288-400. But to participate here in the studio, 083-288-401. 083-288-401. Studio. 083-288-400. Office. You're welcome. Now, according to the World Economic Forum's 2026 Sports for People and Planet Insight report, sport is a $2.3 trillion per year worldwide economy. $2.3 trillion per year worldwide economy. That is $36.6 trillion per year. That's how big the sports economy is. It's in trillions. That's now we are going to understand in a few for those of us that are not, you know, sports fanatics, over why, you know, why, or, you know, why these numbers are, you know, they're just mind numbing. Now, those numbers are expected to actually increase by 2030. It's expected to raise from 2.3 trillion US dollars a year to $3.7 trillion a year. Now, $3.7 trillion a year, that is, that's $58.8 trillion. That's trillion Namibian dollars. It's $3.7 trillion in US, but it's $58.8 trillion in Namibian dollars. And some far forecast type, or, you know, like some even further type of forecast into 2050 is you know, they're putting the estimate of the annual sports economy, the global annual sports economy, to $8.8 trillion. That takes you to 139.9, basically 140 trillion Namibian dollars a year. Now, with all these projections, it's beginning to show why it's very important to invest in sports, because, I mean, it's a growing industry. And with that level of growth, every country that's smart enough to actually, you know, go through the report, will be going, actually, we should start looking into investing into sports. Now, I have a sneaky suspicion for a lot of Africans, we don't take things like sports seriously. Why? Because we look at it as literally something, you know, as something. We don't look at it as a business. We look at it as something that you do to kill boredom. For a very long time, that has been the perception for a lot of people when it comes to sports. It's just something that you just participate in to kill boredom, and, you know, maybe just, you know, keep yourself fit so that you don't have coronary problems, or more like, you know, you are not unfit, or, you know, just to shake off some, beer, you know, bubbles that you were swallowing the whole weekend. Stuff like that. But sports itself, you know, it's a multi-trillion dollar economy. It's a multi-trillion dollar worldwide economy. That's a fancy way of saying they make a behind load of money per year. And their projections, the growth projections are looking somewhat very positive. Oh, there is a but. There is a but it's coming. That but is coming in a few. Now, for those of us that don't speak this sports lingo, now this is sport. This is looking at sport, not in a specific sports court. Now, this is just looking at sports in like sports in general, like what it's able to contribute, the economic contributions it's making per year worldwide as we speak. Now, what is a sports economy, if you ask? You know, when I was going through this report, the first thing, one thing that kept running around in my head was just how much of the African economy is heavily, heavily, heavily dependent on the extractive industry. Everything for us is about mining and drilling. That's it. We are working into sort of like expanding from that into other economic avenues, like sport, for example. But for a very long time, you have to understand that this is one of those cases, I believe, of colonialism, because colonialism was largely based on the extractive resources. So after they extracted these resources, fast forward to democratic dispensation, every time that a country achieved its independence, instead of trying to think of other ways of, you know, other means of making money for their country, they just adopted an already existing one, source of revenue. And for a lot of countries on the African continent, it was more often the extractive industry, because these industries were already set up during the colonial times. So it was just much easier to adopt one that was already set up than build one from the scratch. And That would have been an excuse like 4 or 5 years after independence, but 30 plus years later, we can't use that as an excuse. We really can. And this is not just a problem in Namibia. This is a problem continent-wide. Especially sub-Saharan Africa, we are heavily reliant on the extractive industry, which is why we are running into a lot of problems now, especially when it comes to diamonds, because diamonds now are being threatened by lab-made diamonds. And natural diamonds are expensive to extract. Lab-made diamonds in terms of, investment, they are not heavy on investment. But if you are going to dig that stone in the ground, you need some industrial earth-moving machines, which are fuel-guzzling. Fuel alone is going to cost you millions a year. And now, well, that means for you to recoup your investment, you will have to overprice that thing. And now, well, lab-made diamonds are like, okay, fine. I mean, we are just making our stuff in the lab. So we don't have to keep up with your price. We'll just sell it at our own price, which is reasonable in relation to our industry. So now, well, we have countries like Namibia and Botswana going, okay, now, well, what are we going to do? Short answer, not much. It's not like you can, it's not like you can shut down lab-made diamonds. I mean, it's a new thing, and it's just one of those things that we just have to realize that while it's here to stay, and you have to compete. And when it comes to investment, there is not really much we can do when it comes to competing. Like natural diamonds cannot, in terms of investment, compete with lab-made diamonds. You can't lower the price of a natural diamond, for example, to match the price of a lab-made diamonds, because these two industries are wildly different in terms of investment that's required for you to get to that diamond. Natural diamonds requires you to put in a whole lot of money, because you are doing a whole lot of digging, literally, to get to that diamond. But if you are to lab-made diamonds, all you just need is a bunch of experts and a bunch of precision machines, and your raw materials are very, you have a very small list of raw materials that you are dealing with. But you don't have a lot of raw materials that you are dealing with. But the amount of earth you have to move to find that rock in the middle of debt, and then clean it. Eish. That's the problem with, that's the problem that is, that's the problem that natural diamonds are facing. Let's just say they have a contender, and that contender is lab-made diamonds, and they can be used in both, call it romantic settings and industrial drilling and cutting tool settings, because diamonds in the wedding, call it wedding industry, then, all you just have to do is buy one and then maybe, divorce and then buy another one. But if you are, but the main application that basically makes them a lot of money, I believe, is one that's, the industrial use of diamond. And you're talking about industrial cutting and drilling tools. Well, the problem is, lab-made diamonds can have just the same industrial and social applications. And let's face it, a lot of us cannot tell the difference between a lab-made diamond and one that was dug out of the ground. And I'm saying that because in 2019, a shoes store in the US gathered influencers and asked them, just how fancy do you think these shoes are? I mean, I can tell it's high quality. They got the shoes from Pep. I can tell it's high quality. That means with all their influencer mentality, they had no clue what they were talking about. And they didn't get the shoes literally from Pep. They got the shoes from a budget store equivalent to what we call, would call, Pep products here. Picture this. What they did was, just picture someone taking shoes that are costing, take for example, 99 to 100 bucks in PEP, and then put it in Woolworth and then mark up the price to $1,000 and call a bunch of influencers and they all go bananas. Like, you can see, this is just genuine. No, it wasn't. And I actually gave up on taking fashion advice from influencers at that time. I was like, hang on a second. These guys couldn't tell the difference between a low-end shoe and a high-end one. But I'm supposed to listen to them for fashion advice. I get out of here. So, bottom line, we can't tell the difference between a lab-made diamond and the one that was dug out of the ground. So, bottom line, just buy one. Just have one. Welcome. What then is a sports economy? A sports economy is an interconnected ecosystem of more than 15 stakeholder groups that, because the one that I want to make the 16th one fits into one of the 15 category. Now, the sports economy is an interconnected ecosystem of more than 15. Yeah. Actually, that's the correct wording. More than 15 groups that collectively drives its activities, supporting active lifestyle and anything around it. Now, while physical activity is part of sport and is central to the sports economy as a form of entertainment. You know how you show up to a stadium, for example, maybe buy a ticket and stuff. The performance itself. Paying for the performance itself is a good thing. And they make a lot of money that way. But it turns out, the money that they are talking about here, all those trillions of dollars that the sports industry makes per year, goes beyond the physical, the physical activity that we more often think of every time the word sport is mentioned. It goes beyond that. They are looking at every single product that you are looking at. Every time that you see your soccer player, your favorite soccer player on the pitch, the socks they are wearing, most likely the underwear, oh boy, the shirt they are wearing, the shirt they are wearing, the band they are wearing, the container they are using. Now, that's just them on the pitch. Now, when they are doing their training, they have all these fancy machines around them. All those machines are tailored for sports. Retail stores, for example. There are retail stores that are specifically tailored for sportswear. Like they just sell almost, if not exclusively, sportswear. And we have one in Venue. Have you ever gotten in there and looked at the price of those shorts? Are you kidding? Everything from swim, jogging, you name it. Boxing, they sell it. Every time that you look at, you walk through that, or you get in and you're looking at their products, you're just browsing through their, through their racks. One thing that what you are looking at is, that's a sports economy. It's feeding the sports sector. In other words, if you invest enough in the sports sector and come up actually with brands that can support, more like a piece of clothing, for example, that can support that sector, oh, you are getting into a very lucrative market. Thing is, the problem with us, everyone wants to be a lawyer. Everyone wants to be a doctor. And look, this is not, especially young people. No, it's not your fault. It's not. It's just that the environment we are in, it's more tailored, especially when it comes to career-wise or employment-wise, is more tailored for academics. And low-key, to some degree, technical, the technical guys. As sports, we are still, we're still lagging way behind. So, But these guys are telling us, the World Economic Forum guys are telling us, actually, you may want to pull up your socks on that because, well, you are neglecting a part of, a part of the global economy that is doing significantly well. Okay. Every lifestyle or discipline, for example, is going to have its own industry, especially when, it's going to have its own economy. Take adventure, for example. Adventure also has its own economy. Have you ever gotten in Simot? Like, you can smell adventure. Okay, now I'm about to send them an invoice. Now, the thing is, all these stores sell something that's, different people have different interests. Some people like to, to do sports. And then there are those of us that just want to hop in a four-wheel drive and just, start to, in Dwight's words, gallivanting everywhere with my camera and just taking pictures. But don't worry, wherever I go, it's safe to have binoculars. This whole thing of, can we get closer, please? That's why I don't think, I'm gonna enjoy sitting, going for game drives in the same car with white people. Because they always want to get closer to the lion. Can I have a better shot? Excuse me. I'm not really in the mood of getting eaten today. So if you are, you mind walking closer to the lion? Thank you. That's actually why I can easily get beaten up. That's why every time I find myself in a crowd, I just like to keep quiet, because if I know if I start talking, I'm going to lose some teeth. Because now, it's not all on me. People just like to do dumb things. And God gave me the art of pointing it out in a very creative way. Some people laugh, and some people just want to go full Harry Simon on me. And I really like my teeth. The thing is, when you look at all the 15 plus stakeholders that are interested in sport, that's when you'll begin to see the economic size of sports. And, that's something that you can, that's when you're going to realize that, sport is actually huge in a sense that it does not only involve, the activity itself that we think of every time we talk about sport. But, it also involves a lot of things, including the clothing that are, the clothes that are worn by those sports figures and the equipment that they need when they're training and the medications that they take. And the food that they eat, And all these things it's actually well summarized on the fourth page of the report. The graph is in the form of a circle. And you have spots on the center. And then they put the stakeholders around that as a more of a, like a peripheral economy that is tied into sports. You have professional and elite sports. You have sport tourism is one of them. You have sporting goods. You have participatory and sports physical participatory sport and physical activity. And then you have nutrition, gaming, broadcast, and streaming. That's actually why I'm just gonna dive a little deeper on, in that. Now you have nutrition, you have wearables like your watches that measure your heartbeat, blood pressure, and all those things, and your distance that you are running, and all that. All that is part of the sports economy. And then you have the investors now. You have your investors and you have your academia that are doing research and development and how to make, on how to make things, things better. What do you mean how to make things better? It's simple. Look, take the automotive industry, for example. Now, that one I know way better than I do sports, weird enough. It's not actually weird. It's about interest. Now, here's the thing. before the three-pointer seatbelt that you and I know today. They only had two-point seatbelt, and it was a terrible idea. It just came from one side of your waist to the other. Just on, you know, your waistline. That means if you're involved in a car accident at a high speed, oh boy, your spinal cord had problems. Because you are going to be yanked out of there, and your body can't just take that, you know, that type of inertia, and that's a bad idea. So Volvo was like, we have made that better with our research and development. So they basically donated to the world in the name of safety, automotive safety. We didn't patent it. You can just have it for free. Thank you. You can just adopt it. It's considered our contribution to safety in the roads. This is why to this day, Volvo's selling point is safety. And they are obsessed with it at this point. Oh, it is an obsession. They involve it in their, you know, in the way that their cars are designed. Everything involves safety. So research and development basically points into the questions, questions that are asked theoretically. And they try as much as possible to answer them, you know, practically using science. That's where research and development now comes in. If these socks have this disadvantage, you know, maybe it gives, you know, like blisters to players. How do you make it not give, you know, not start giving players blisters? Because if a player has blisters, they have a problem, you know, they basically have a problem, you know, playing well. And that's going to make a very sucky match for, you know, for spectators. Like, one I'm pretty sure listening somewhere in Ambalanda right now. One thing that you begin to see there is, that question is going to lead to, is it the material? Is it the design? Is there, you know, there's some type of, ergonomics, issue that, you know, that we are dealing with. And how can you improve it in a way that, it doesn't have all those, advantages that's coming with in a way that is, impacting the player's performance. Make it better. Research and development comes in there. Now, academia comes in there. Research and development. You have advocacy and accountability. That's where your policies comes in. But now, sometimes I get caught up in this. I forget that we have bills to pay. Let's take a break. And on the other side, we pay some bills as we go along because we have quite a few of them. Home Run with Helmut on Eagle FM. Stay tuned.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tele ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi to danjuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doini nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamoiri nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile ko berewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Let's pay the bills. The Roads Contractor Company Limited hereby invites interested, competent, suitable, and qualified service providers to participate in the following procurement opportunities. Description, a call for a registration for 2026-2027 financial year for a Namibian-owned service provider in the roads construction, maintenance, and building sector. Closing date, Friday, 6 March 2026 at 12 o'clock p.m. Interested companies must submit all documents via the RCC Talent Portal at www.rcctalents.com. At www.rcctalents.com. Expression of interest. Procurement of project planning and implementation consulting firm. Closing date, Friday, 6 March 2025 at 10 o'clock a.m. Expression of interest, provision of appointing a construction technical partner for roads contractor company RCC. Closing date, Friday, 6 March 2025 at 11 o'clock a.m. Availability of bids, availability of bid documents as of 28 January 2026. On a e-governance portal at www.egp1.gov.na. And our website, that is www.rcc.com.na. NB, all interested eligible bidders must download the bid documents on the provided websites. Documents are not at RCC office and cannot be emailed. For inquiries, contact Mr. Amon Shangano at email is amon.shangano@rcc.com.na and telephone number 061-297-9000. Closing date 6 March 2026. Time for tenders, people. Time for tenders. Yebo. Moving on, 18 past the hour of 5 and back to sports. So when you look at all the stakeholders involved, you begin to understand that a lot of things are basically needed to regulate all these things. That's where regulation comes in. Like, that's the core foundation. You can't skip that and go anywhere, at least not successfully. So take broadcasting and streaming, for example. That needs its own regulation. You have gaming. You have you have wearables and softwares. Now you have investors. Because, sports need one thing, that the one basic need that sports need is the physical infrastructure. And not just this, not just the stadium. Of course, you need the stadiums, but, you also need, in terms of things like nutrition, where are you going to be giving people medical, you'll need pharmacies to prescribe the right medication. You need also these pharmacies or these health facilities to provide all the nutritional advice. And you need the experts to work in there. Where do you produce those experts? Academic institutions. That's where your school now comes in. Now, when you look at it from there, you begin to see that the whole thing goes straight up way to kindergarten. So, investment all across the board. So, all these things from investments to sports services to, nutrition, academia and research, all these things require a regulation, like different sets of legislations to basically regulate them. So, you are looking at a serious regulation research that you'll have to do. The good thing is there are already countries that have already like a functioning, sports sectors where they have all these things in place that we can basically look at as an example. We are not reinventing the wheel. It's easy to say. And until you get to the investment, that's when you begin to realize, oh, there's a lot of money. If there's a lot of money to make in an industry, there's a lot of money to put in that industry for you to make that money. Take the extractive industry, for example. Yeah. Last time I checked, you need like what? 300 million. 300 million.
For a seismic survey.
When you're looking for oil. 300 million. You haven't reached the extractive, you haven't reached the, you know, the setting up of infrastructure for you to, do the extracting. You are not there yet. You are just looking for it. You haven't found it. You are looking for it. And I was like, 300 what now? 300 million. According to Robin Sherman in his book, the Introduction to Namibian Economy. And it's like, okay, that's a lot of money. But the thing is, you can be forgiven for saying, okay, that's a lot of money, I'm not investing it in. And then you realize that once that investment is done and you've reached production, the money you make out of it have the tendency of, of sending countries into what is known as the Dutch case disease, where they become so reliant on that industry because of its high return on investment, where they, everyone wants to work in that industry. And so, other industries like agriculture, for example, are neglected at the end of the day. Then the countries now find themselves importing everything, that when that resources runs out, that's when they realize, oh, we don't have agricultural experts. So we have been eating imported food this whole time. Now, we've been eating that imported food because we were able to afford it because we had the resources. But now that the resources is out, that means we are not making as much money as we used to when we had the resources. And because that we don't have that money, we can't afford to buy the food. So that means we have to start farming. So now you have to start training petroleum engineers to do what that Shipingana does. So, don't get caught in the Dutch case disease. And I like that the Norwegian ambassador to South Africa. I think he was here when we had the first oil and gas conference, and he gave one heck of a presentation. Dr. Christensen, Jesus, that guy's name always makes me want to bite my tongue. Now, so. Yes, it's expensive to invest in. Well, what did the Templars believe? More risk. No risk, no reward. That's a little toxic. And by the way, did you know that those guys basically invented the whole idea of banking? I mean, it was, back then it was not as efficient as it is today, but boy, those guys up to something. So, the part that I want to focus on when it comes to this whole thing, this whole sports economy is one that is closer to my industry, and that's the entertainment industry. And the broadcast, streaming, and gaming. You can play soccer on the pitch. You can watch it there. And you can also play soccer as a video game. You can decide to go to war if you want, and then there are those of us that just like the war virtually, aka we are just pixels on my screen. I'm good with that. But showing up in a literal war zone, yeah, count me out. Quick break.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Welcome back. Before we continue, another life read. So, bills to pay, yay. The Rhodes Contractor Company Limited hereby invites interested, competent, suitable, and qualified service providers to participate in the following procurement opportunity. Description, a call for registration for 2026-2027 financial year for for Namibian-owned service providers in roads construction, maintenance, and building sector. Closing date, Friday, 6 March 2026 at 12 o'clock p.m. Interested parties must submit all documents via RCC Talent Portal at www.rcctalents.com. Expression of interest procurement of a project planning and implementation consulting firm. Closing date, Friday, 6 March 2025, closing 2026 at 10 o'clock a.m. Expression of interest provision of appointing a construction technical partner for roads contractor company RCC. Closing date 6 March 2026 at 11 o'clock a.m. Availability of bid documents as from 28 January 2026 at e-government portal at www.egp1.gov.na and our website that is www.rcc.com.na. NB, all interested eligible bidders must download the bid documents on the provided website. Documents are not at RCC office and cannot be emailed. For inquiries, contact Mr. Amon Shangano amon.shangano@rcc.com.na. That's the email. And the telephone number is 061-297-9000. Closing date, 6 March 2026. Back to sports. So, looking at the sports economy from my industry of choice, and that's the entertainment industry, is that there's something called product placement. Turns out in the world of marketing. Now, those of us that don't know a thing about marketing, actually, well, only came across that term this afternoon. And just when I was just compiling this whole thing. No. Product placement, which involves payment for display brand name merchandise in films, is a legal and potentially large source of revenue for filmmakers. This is where advertising meets sports. Methods like product placement would come in handy. Not a lot of people cared about Crocs until they were, featured in the movie Idiocracy in 2006. And now all of a sudden we all want one. The Crocs we saw, love today. I just think let's face it, those sandals look like knickknacks. The whole idea of Crocs came up in 2002. Now, when the movie Idiocracy was made in 2006, I believe it was the director of the movie who was like, we are tight on the budget here. We can't just go around buying high-end products. We just need something that is on budget. And it's a comedy show. I mean, it's a comedy movie. That's based on a future where, it's actually dumb and stupid and and this is reflected in the clothes that they wear. So, they got the Crocs for the character to reflect that, dumbassery and stupidity of the future where people will be wearing even something that reflects their dumbassery and stupidity. You know, after I read that piece of history, I decided, you know what? Do I get myself Crocs? Like, and then I decided to get a peer pressure. So, now, Crocs were just on a budget shoes. More like a footwear that not a lot of people have heard of. Since 2002, 2003, 2004, 2005, and 2006, they blow up. Why? It's because people watch movies. When they are watching these movies or when they are playing their favorite video games, they have all this, you know, you have all these logos and products that are scattered everywhere. I think that's somewhat subliminal, but I think it's marketing genius. Work like a charm. We can all write a list of songs that we downloaded because we watched a movie where the song was used. One example, This Love Will Go On by Celine Dion. That movie came out the same year as the Titanic. It was used in the Titanic movie. Capital Letters was used in 50 Shades of Grey. And everyone, you know, is that Freed or Grey? I'm not sure. So, when it comes to the entertainment industry, when you're watching a movie and you see all those, you know, you see all these characters in the movie putting on these certain clothes with these certain logos and they are holding this, you know, this coffee cup with a logo and company name, nothing is in there by accident. Everything is in there on purpose and it's paid for. It's a genius way of marketing. If you have watched Mission Impossible, then you know that most, the modes of transport they use, aka the cars, or more like the vehicles they use, from motorbikes to cars, they use a lot of BMWs. Now, if you have seen Transporter, then, anyone that have seen Transporter knows what car is over-exaggerated in how it's driven in that movie. It's an Audi. Nothing is in there by accident. It's all part of marketing. Music videos are the same. For those of us that grew up with MTV Base, I'm a 2000, you can Google that. Here's the thing. I remember my cousin, he watched Lil Wayne. I think he watched Lil Wayne's song one too many times. And there's this pair of shoes that Lil Wayne was putting on. After that song, bro went to his mom to cry for the same pair of shoes. Assuming he's not listening because he's very tall and muscular today. He's one of the very few, people in my family with tall and muscular. The rest of us are just, have those very rugged Khoisan DNA. We are built to last. We are not built for the gym, no. We're built for endurance. So proud of us. The problem is we turn 40 and still, go for shopping in kids section. What size are you looking for, sir? 7? Do I look like I can wear size 7? Please pass me size 5. What is that you say? Size 5. Twenty-six minutes left to the hour of 6. Another life read. Oh, I am loaded. The University of Namibia informs students that online hostel registration for 2026 opened on the 12th of January and will run until 27th February 2026. Only students who applied for residence and received official placement confirmation may register online. Access to hostel will not be granted without proof of residence registration. Students placed on waiting list may be considered if spaces become available. For assistance, students are advised to contact their respective resident offices. So, back to sport. Apart from that whole idiocy example, idiocracy movie example on how sports can really complement and we've seen this. We can see this in countries that have a functioning sports sector, unlike some countries who cannot even co-host. their own games at home. Don't want to mention any names. What am I kidding? It's Namibia. Seriously, guys. We're very unbelievable. Like, are we not even ashamed to... I mean, our home games are not played at home. They are called home games because they are supposed to be played at home. When your home games are not played at home, make it sound like you don't understand English. Okay, not mind the gif. Come back to home run, just relax, breathe. Now, serious conversation. Yeah, nice try. Now, advertising or marketing. This is where Dwight now would go like, hey, well, let me correct you. There's a difference. I know. I just, you know, keep forgetting what the difference is between marketing and advertising. Now, in 1994, it was revealed that Brown and Williamson Tobacco Corporation spent more than $950,000 between 1979 to 1983 to feature its cigarette brands in more than 20 movies, which included payments of at least $300,000. Multiply that by 15 point something for today. 15 point something or 16, that's where the US dollar and the Namibian dollars are trading. I don't know how it plummeted from 18 to sort of like 16. I know a lot of people are saying, I mean, this is a good... Oh, no, it's not. It's actually not. It makes everything expensive. I know. The Namibian dollar is not gaining value. It's just the US dollar that's losing value. So... I'm confused there too, but potato. Now, $300,000 was also, you know, $300,000 in the span of the same, you know, the same time period was paid to one Sylvester Stallone, a.k.a. Rambo. In other words, product placement is a genius marketing strategy, if you ask me. But it only works if you have a well-functioning entertainment industry. So when you invest in your entertainment industry, marketing, you're making life easier for marketing or advertising. Whichever Dwight may approve, but he's not here. Imagine him listening right now through the app. He wants to correct me through the, you know, through the phone. This is the difference. Relax. Just enjoy your leap, buddy. Come back next time. Yeah, so, in other words, all the movies that, all the Rambo movies that came out between 1979 to 1983, if you saw Rambo smoking a cigarette in that movie, he wasn't smoking a cigarette to look cool. That was him advertising the cigarette. Like, the panning of the camera to the box of the cigarette and then flip open the top of the box to pull one on. The logo is always in straight view of the camera. It's on purpose. It's called product placement. I mean, that's genius. I only came to learn about that when I was watching just a whole lot, an unhealthy amount, actually, of Nickelodeon. And this is where, you know, this is where I saw, you know, the shirts that they're wearing and the cups that they're wearing, the cereal that they're having for breakfast and all this. That's when I was like, oh, I thought they just like using these products. No, you can't put it in there unless you are paying for it. Let's take a break. Home Run with Helmut on Eagle FM. Stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Now, for those of you that tuned in from the beginning, thank you very much. Latecomers, better late than never. You're welcome. This economy, let's just run through those numbers again, and then we'll come back to the challenges those numbers are facing. You know, there are challenges, not disadvantages. No. We don't do that here. We say, accomplishments. This is the plans we have, we made last year. This is what we have accomplished. And these are the challenges we're in. In other words, we don't want to say this is where we fail. No. Because the failing would mean we're throwing in a towel. We didn't fail. No. We just hit a few bumps, but we are going to re-strategize and then we can just move on from there. So, according to the report that is basically the main source of a reference for today, that's the report coming out of the World Economic Forum's 2026 Sports for People and Planet Insight report. Sport is generating $36.6 trillion a year. And it's expected now that number is expected to rise to $58.8 trillion in 5 years. That means by 2030, and by 2050, that number is projected to skyrocket to 139.9 or just $140 trillion a year. So that means the projection according to this report in the world of sports is that it shows it's basically giving every country to, that have not prioritized investment in sport to reconsider that decision of not prioritizing investment in sport. Reconsider that decision of, fixing your stadium so you can have, your home games at home. I'm just making fun of my country. Of course I am. There are few challenges that are now facing this. These projections, that if the projections don't come out, take for example by 2030, and take for example come 2030, and the $36.6 trillion is mark is not reached in terms of in terms of annual revenue in the world of sports, and come 2050, the $58.8 or $59 trillion a year is not reached by the world of sports in terms of revenue generation. The reasons could be that challenges. There are always challenges in life, people. There are always challenges. The sector's long-term growth is increasingly at risk due to converging health and environmental challenges. rising levels of physical inactivity rising levels of physical inactivity, especially among the youth. You know, I read that and I went like, that explains a lot. Last year, I did a show on the Australian government banning social media for under 15s. And then the Scandinavian countries went really, 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 really wild with that idea. I think they wanted to, go with the, you know, with the 13. Physical inactivity among the youth. In other words, a lot of young people are become couch potatoes. Okay, how to put this in a way that is very simple? Kids are not playing outside anymore. Playing outside means we are meeting in a shipment for a 1v1 where I'm seated in the comfort of my room. And now I'm 1v1ing, it's a gaming thing, with my Nigerian homie who is also seated in the comfort of his house, I guess, not someone's house. I mean, I don't want my gaming buddies to get shot. So one of the biggest challenges facing, there are several challenges facing the economy of sports, especially with regards to the projections of annual revenue generations that we've made. And you're looking at converging health and environmental challenges. Environmental challenges, obviously, that now we're talking about climate change type of things. And now that, because environmental challenges, you know what that means? It spills into agriculture. Now it just ropes in your food industry. And nutrition is one of those things that, my God, this is, the radius just keeps expanding. And you're looking at environmental challenges, and you're looking at converging health and the health and environmental challenges. Now, if you have a nutritionist friend or cousin, in my case, you will realize that as much as we have food, it turns out we don't know how to eat. That's the most white people thing I've ever said. We don't know how to eat. Oh no, we know how to eat. We don't know what to eat. Especially if you were after a specific, body type that you are chasing. If you are into the modeling industry, then, the standards, they are tight. And the entertainment, especially, the classics like ballet, for example. Yeah. Mm-mm. They are strict with regards to what you are going to shove in that thing you call your mouth. But before we continue, this is the last one, I promise. Hey, you gotta pay the bills. Call for the registration of unemployed engineers, surveyors, architects, planners, and heavy equipment operators. The road contractor company RCC invites unemployed qualified Namibians in the following fields to register and upload their documentation on the RCC portal. Eligible fields of qualification/expertise. Engineers, civil engineers, mechanical engineers, electrical engineers, quantity surveyors, heavy equipment operators, land surveyors, architects, town and regional planners. And B, this call is strictly eligible to Namibian citizens who are unemployed and possess the aforementioned qualifications and expertise. For inquiries, contact Ms. Lizette Kakumai, Human Capital Department at 061-297-9000 or email at lizette.kakumai@rcc.com.na. Closing date, 31 March 2026. Un momento, s'il vous plaît.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back to Home Run with Helmut on Eagle FM. We have 9 minutes now. On the projections being made, and this is very nice, an investment, mouth-watering sector called the sports sector, at least mouth-watering for some countries. We are just looking at that and going like, I mean, I would join you guys, but I mean, I'm allergic. That's Namibia when it comes to sports investment. The investments, according to the report, however, are facing some interesting, not very interesting, some challenges. And it says in the report, however, the sector's long-term growth is increasingly at risk due to converging health environmental challenges, and rising levels of physical inactivity, especially among the youth. And that risks undermining grassroots participation and eroding the future fan and consumer base that sustains revenues across appeal, elite sports, tourism and fitness. Simultaneously, escalating environmental risks such as heat, stress, extreme weather and pollution are disrupting competition. Look. World Cup is this year. Look at the country where it's taking place.
That's another problem. That's another reason that's impacting these projections.
Yeah.
First of all, president of the host country is Donald Trump. I mean, they should have seen that from day one. I don't know what they were thinking.
So then they went on to point that the sector also contributes to these pressures through the resource intensive nature of the events and sporting goods infrastructure, travel resulting in significant carbon emissions, water use and waste generation. Yeah, if you gather 1 million people at one place, they're gonna need a lot of toilets. These dynamics are mutually reinforcing environmental degradation and discourages physical inactivity, while less active populations are more susceptible to climate-related health impacts. So this negative feedback loop threatens to dampen long-term demand resilience and the sector's ability to deliver positive social and economic outcomes, like those projected to be reached by 2030, 2050. So several things here. One, Mother Nature is also saying, I'm tired of you guys burning stuff, so you're suffocating me, so I'm going to burn you too. So, capish? And now, the environment, when it comes to the setting up physical infrastructure, you need to clear the land. So, not very environmental friendly, but you need the land. You can't build it on the clouds. That's one. Boy, I'm going to think of it that way. But now, when people take, for example, for events like the World Cup, for example, is the one where you now have the downside. Everything has the downside. But, if you say $40 trillion, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but the downside doesn't look that down.
It's like meeting, I mean, it's like, you know, it's like meeting a, you know, a very hot Coca-Cola bottle type chick who is crazy. Most straight guys will go like, she's crazy, but damn it, everyone is crazy. I mean, aren't we just all crazy? No. We're all crazy, but not that crazy. Yeah. Ladies go through the same thing. They meet someone who's tall, dark, and then goes to the gym and they have six pack and, you know, sometimes it turns them into a punching bag. It's like, it's not that bad. Not that bad. What is your definition of bad? You'll be running for your life. Again, this is portrayed in movies that we watch every day, and believe me, the guy in 50 Shades of Grey, if that guy was broke, that movie would have been a domestic violence documentary. But, well, because it's loaded, it's a very romantic movie. Oh, really now? The only difference is loaded. Oh, yeah, Triumph. You will go to jail. Don't try. That's not something you try. And if you take that advice, then you are just planning to do it the whole time and you're going to go to jail. And 25 to life is no joke. So, in the world of sports, it's a good world, economic-wise. It generates a lot of money, and it's projected to generate a lot more. It's going to face challenges, but challenges are always going to be in any endeavor that you basically try to pursue, whether it's as a group or as an individual. There are always going to be stumbling blocks. That's why I, you know, really admire babies trying to, you know, learning to walk. They never throw in a towel. They just keep trying until they figure it out. You fall, they scratch their little knees and cry, and mommy or daddy shows up and, you know, just comfort them and, you know, patch things up and all that. And the next day, oh, they're standing again and trying until they start running and fall again and injure themselves, come back to mommy, running and crying until they figure it out and become Usain Bolt, Frank Frederick type of runners. So, as kids, we are not that scared to take risks. And then we grow up and then actually become aware of how dangerous the world are around us. And then we are overwhelmed by fear. Oh, boy. Now, that, ladies and gentlemen, brings us... That, ladies and gentlemen, brings us to the end of our show for today. So, this whole, you know, sport thing is, at least investment-wise, is something that's worth looking into. Until tomorrow, same time, same place, on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM. You all have a blessed evening.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.